Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. So I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Dear Lord, we thank you. All good and wonderful things come. We thank you for another day. We thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for your darling son Jesus died on the cross that we may have the right to feel that. We thank you for blessings unseen, all undeserved on earth. And acknowledge forthcoming in the past of what you'll be. We thank you for today. We thank you for the moment. Not knowing what tomorrow brings, but who brings tomorrow. And as I said before you, there are those who you are not their God, but you are God. You're God all by yourself. We thank you, Lord, that even though we may not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we're not living on a park bench. We ask these blessings, all the blessings, in the name of your darling son Jesus. Amen. And with that, Doc Stanley. It happened. It's one of these things that happened. This is Calling the Doctor Part 2. Me and Mel got into a segment, and there were some things said that I thought should have been heard, not because of my importance, because of the importance of them. And with that, Mel will be back. We'll probably, I'm going to try to get a hold of the anniversary people and see if they just want to join us for a little while, and we could say happy anniversary to them. And with that, I will give that a shot. And I've got myself, you know, voicemail, but Mel is going to join me shortly. And we will continue. One of the things I was talking about was he had asked me about the great Larry Joe Bird, who actually, now that I think about more so, Larry is a Pearl Harbor baby. Larry is born on December 7th. And great player. Just a great, great, great player. Number 33. Out of Indiana State, you know, Larry originally didn't set out a year. You know, the Celtics drafted him, and Larry was not kind of sure if he was going to play or not. And it was a good move that they waited. I mean, Larry is no question the greatest Celtic forward of all time. No. And it is, I mean, if you put an all-time Celtic team together, you're putting Cousy in the backcourt as one guard. Russ is in the middle, there's no question about that. You know, Bird's one of the forwards. Because Havlicek was that great guy coming off the bench. So you always would bring Hondo. You always would bring Havlicek off the bench. But you know, Bird would be the first forward. Russ is in the middle. KC, Cousy would be probably two starting guards. Would be Cousy for one, and you fight between Dennis Johnson
and Sam Jones. But I probably would have Sam, Cousy in the backcourt, Russ in the hole, Bird as one forward, and then complimentary-wise, there's no guy better than Sat Sanders. But I'm just trying to think of another, because you want Havlicek coming off the bench. But what happened, the legendary scribe and radio icon, Dr. Rooney Stanley Jr., host.
Hello, doctor.
Everybody show, Sports with Jeff. Hey, Rooney, how you doing?
How's it going,
back
doc? How's everything?
Back on the line again. How you doing, Rooney?
Indeed. And, of course, I wanted to pick the doctor's brain as usual.
Well, you know what happened, Rooney? The time allotted, we did do the lights off, mic on, and there were some things said that I thought should have been heard. And with that, we were able, by the grace of God, to be able to get back to this slot and do an unheard of calling the doctor part two here today. So we were able to get part one and part two. So we had it an hour before, and we got another hour. So we got ourselves 2 good hours here.
Which is awesome. Hey, Doc, and I have to say, you know what I always say, Doc, when you're schooling me and I'm getting that incredible amount of information for you, like a walking encyclopedia. I say anytime I have a chance to tap Doc's knowledge, it means big things popping, little things stopping.
You know, you've got to trademark along with your great line.
Oh, you think I can sell t-shirts?
and you know, and you brought another one too, Sports and Deaf Nation. I like that, Rooney.
Thank you, Doctor.
It
really is Sports and Deaf Nation. I mean, the popularity, you know, when it comes, you know, the popularity, Doc, of you and the incredible panel, you know, that you put together.
Which you are a part of. I mean, you're part of that. Kind of, you know, I said this redundantly. I've said this worldwide. Go to nobody can touch my panel. When it comes to sports, nobody can touch you, C Wing, Cedric Raymond, who happens to be a captain of the police department, Lady A, a lieutenant of the police department, you, former WF star, Harold Weston Jr., former world champion and matchmaker, Destino Baby Lewis, 9/11, as well as, hold on, big Mel. We're on the line here. Don't move anybody. Hello?
So we'll hear that for now. I'll put it on.
Put on the, one room in a second. There you go.
Rooney?
Yeah, Doc.
Mel? Oh.
Yeah, Doc.
Okay, you know what happened? I had. Were you listening to the conversation with me and Big C?
No, I couldn't hear a thing, Doc. I couldn't hear another thing. I was waiting when you said the hold on for a moment. I just heard like a click and I said,
well,
I couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah, because he came on. We were talking on the air. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Rainbow Soul Sports Network show. I don't know what happened. Okay, because I was talking and then all of a sudden he came in. And he's excited, you know. I was saying this part two segment came about because of the feeling that there were things that were not said, that were not being heard live on the air, that I thought. And one of the things was you asked the question about Larry Joe Bird. And before you came on, I was talking to Larry. No, but Larry Bird's a Pearl Harbor baby. He's born December 7th.
Yeah, I want to know if he was as big as, I mean, obviously we know that, you know, Bird was great. But was he as big as the legend of Bird? Yes.
And
he said very much so.
Every bit and more. I mean, he used to win the three-point contest, but I taking the jacket off. The thing I talked about was that big game where a member of the Lakers, rookie, made a big shot. And Bird talked about how good it was to see this first-year player make this clutch shot and what it meant not only to his confidence but to his career and what it meant for the league. You know, that was just really amazing. I remember Bird talking about guys were bitching about Casey Jones as the coach, and Larry said, hey, you know, you bitched about a coach. We got as a good coach. Shut up and play for him. Because Larry I remember I gave him a book about special funny incidents, and he had done a little prank in the locker room. When I gave him the book, he laughed. He said, yeah, you know, I did that right here. I didn't understand his appreciation of jazz, but we were talking one day, and I remember the day distinctly now that I think about it. The Oakland A's were playing an early game at the stadium, and the Celtics were playing a game that night at the Garden, and we were talking about the profound effect that Charlie Parker had on the injection of heroin in jazz because, and Larry understood, you know, the mindset was that Parker was so superior to everybody else that the ingredient must have been his taking of heroin. And this is why a lot of people took it, because Charlie Parker took it, and this is going to take me where Charlie Parker was at, which was not the case. It was his talent. And, you know, Parker died at 60, at 35, and he looked like he was 65, you know.
Yeah, a very early age, Doc. They said
became alcoholic.
That and a whole lot of partying.
Yeah, yeah.
As a matter of fact, Doc, I believe Forrest Whitaker plays him in some movie.
Yeah, he played him in the movie that Clint Eastwood did. Bird. Now we started talking. I remember one time he took a great picture of my daughter Dimly, and our friendship began when his last game at the Nets. And he was like one rebound or two assists away from triple double. And I asked him before the game. I said, "Larry, can I have those things at the end of the game?" And he looked at me. He said, "You know, I have to see how bad I tear him up." And I wasn't really cognizant of how these guys tear sneakers up until I was at Julius' house when I'm Julius serving talking about Julius. And I asked Julius for an old pair of sneakers. He said, "Yeah, well, go get a pair out of the next room." And he had like four or five pair there, because I was thinking that they would, you know, wear them like we do now. Jordan, Oakley, Ewing wore a new pair of sneakers every game. Isaiah Thomas told me he couldn't wear a new pair every game. So at the end of the game, when I came in, as I come into the locker room, standing at the rest of the ride, so Larry talking, he stopped. He looked at me and said, "Hey, come in the back. Let me get your sneakers for you right now." And we went in the back and sat down. And me and him, off-limits section, and I'm not a beer drinker, but Larry popped a beer. I popped a beer. We're sitting there drinking a beer. And I asked him, I said, "Oh, you know, we're going to play next year?" And he said, "You know, I don't know." He said, it depends how bad the back is. It depends how bad the back is, he says. And I asked him, I said, "Well," I said, "the New York press must be something." He said, no. He said, the worst press for me is Boston. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we talked, and that's how we began our friendship. I remember as a coach, I hadn't seen him for 1 year because they didn't play here. I missed a game, and the next year I walked up, and he's talking to some other people, and he just stopped, looked over his. I go, "Hey, how you doing?" Because I was giving different chats. I mean, I got Larry's home phone number here. He was always great to me. It just took to me, and as I got to know him, we talked how profound and what a devastating blow that was to the Pacers when Larry Johnson had that 4-point play. And as you look back, I mean, he really wasn't even fouled. And Larry talked about, you know, we talked about, you know, just how hard it was to get a team to the finals. We're not worried about winning, just getting the team to the finals.
Let me ask you something, and I know if anyone could just tell us like it is about this, it's you. Did Bird know, Doc? I mean, did he really comprehend what he meant to the league and how big his legend was?
I think he did, and he understood his part. But he's a humble guy, no ego, Indian. And he was a very, very cognizant. Like I said, he was a great teammate, not only to the Celtics but to the league. He was a guy who was a confident of the African-American players. I mean, Indiana State, man, you know, he made sure that the team was taken care of. You know, he stood up for Casey Jones. You know what I mean? And he always got along. I remember the fight with him and Julius, and I remember something else, too, that Larry told me. And this is what you do, Rooney. You get me to think. I remember me and Larry were talking one day, and I said, I met Grover Washington Jr. through Julius. And when I say Julius, ladies and gentlemen, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Souls, you know, Sports Network for the show. Whenever I say Julius, I'm talking about Julius Erving. And I remember him saying, me too. And it just shows that there was no, the little fight between him and Julius was just something that happened.
Just a heat of the moment type of thing, Doc?
It was more reactionary. Don't move anybody.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
It's reactionary. And I remember seeing video of Julius and Larry afterwards at the next game sitting there talking. In fact, Julius went down to the locker room, you know, to apologize and that comment there, you know what I mean? Because, okay, if he met Grover through Junior, Julius had to take him. And I remember Julius. The Knicks were playing in the Sixers, of course. And Trent Tucker, what a great guy. Trent, I got to call Trent. And Trent told me, he says, "Mel, man, why don't you come down to the game in Philly, man, and spend the night?" So I called Julius. I said, "Hey, man, hey, Julius, you know, you're playing Boom Boom Boom. Can I So he said, well, let me talk to Turk, make sure I drink. So I went on down. It was funny, too, because what had happened, not funny, but I got down there, and the PR guy, the Knicks PR people hadn't made the call. So the guy that was in charge, he had made the comment that he couldn't give me a credential because, you know, he didn't know me from Adam. When Julius came.
Wow, you're kidding.
And Julius turns around and says to me, well, does he know you from Eve? And what was, you know, and what was funny, don't move. And Doc Stanley on the line with Mel Smith Jr. and going back and forth as the calls keep coming in.
It's a great line, so, Doc, because he know you from Eve.
Yeah, you know what's
funny? It's a great line.
Oh, yeah, it was. And what was funny was, you know, here's this guy's attitude. So who brings me my ticket for the game? He does. You know, the head PR guy comes. Here you go. You know?
Very good.
Yeah, he was a smart out of guy. Who brings in my ticket personally? Julius, he brings it to me. So after the game, we go a very revealing night of being aware, cognizant of things. Chaka Khan was doing a concert there, many concerts. I got to listen to the great Chaka Khan. We leave and we go to a restaurant. And we're eating, me, Trent, and George. I said, Jay, man, you know, what happened with you and the fight with Larry? I mean, what did Larry say to you? And he said, Mel, he didn't say anything. He said, he just had a look on his face. He said, before you know it, I had the jab out there. I had the jab out there, you know what I mean? And so now we get into the car, and we go to this club. And this tall girl walks over, and you can see that. Yeah, that's a very tremendous possibility. This ain't a girl. But anyway, she says, hi to Julius. Hi, Dr. J. And I said, dancing. Julius said, well, you know, I'm not dancing tonight. He said, but I have two friends here. You know, here's Trent Tucker and Mel Stanley. You know, they may want to dance. And, you know, they're here. These two friends of mine. And there was a girl across the room in blue. A lovely, lovely young lady. So we happened to leave. Doc Stanley, Sports Death with the Blake, but Rainbow Souls and Sports Death is the show. And the other line is ringing. Who's calling? Slicky, join us. I gave you the number one more time. It's 914-338-0695. Join us, Slicky. Love to hear you, baby. 10-4. So we get the car. And we come to a section, Doc Stanley Sports Net from the Blake, but this time I'm on the phone, as Slicky Slick is going to call us, and well as my good man. So we get to this, we get ready to come onto the highway, and Julia said, this is where me and Lynn had the car accident. And Lynn, he's talking about Lynn Swan, him and Lynn maybe 4 or 5 months prior were in Jewish Maserati. The Maserati was totaled, but him and Lynn were both unscratched. And
wow, that's incredible, Doc.
They
totaled a Maserati and walk away.
Totaled a Maserati, but him and Lynn were, and as we now, this is Revelation Part Two. Okay, the fight with Burry is one. The car accident. So we're driving, and Trent had made a comment of how the girl, the tall girl, didn't look like a girl, and we had come to the conclusion that it wasn't a girl. But Judy said, well, remember the one in blue? And we said, oh, yeah, she was nice. He said, that's the one that was with Teddy the night he had the car accident.
Oh, wow,
like,
Doc, that's something. And I know that's something, Doc, and I know you're speaking of because I remember reading Jet Magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a picture of that particular person. And I got to say, Doc, looks stunning.
It's stunning. You know, we got the call, calling the doctor, and old Slicky Slick had joined us. A name from the past.
Hold on 1 second.
A buddy that'll always last. And Slicky, it's good to hear from you, man.
Slimmy, it's a pleasure.
we're talking a little sports. I got Mel Smith Jr. You know, and now the thing about with Teddy Pendergrass, you know, last year in Fortaleza, Brazil, I talked to Billy Paul. Billy Paul was the guy that Teddy Pendergrass supplanted in Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Harold Melvin.
Yeah, I was.
Another
blast
from the past, Doctor.
Billy is sitting across from me, and he said Harold didn't like Billy's choreography. Now Teddy was the drummer in the band, okay? And so he springs up from being the drummer. Miles Davis always said the drummer was the soul of it, but he springs up from being the drummer in the band to the lead singer. And Mel, as we know, well, Billy came on. No, Billy was a boxer himself at one time. A lot of it for defensive reasons. And he, the great song, you know, Me and Mrs. Jones, but I'm sitting in Porto Alegre, Brazil, and I'm just found out that Billy Paul was not only in Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, but he was the guy that was supplanted by Teddy Pendergrass. And I was in Porto Alegre. Now, Slimmy, Slicky, I got a story for you going to blow your mind. I'm sitting in Porto Alegre.
That's blowing my mind.
What do you say?
That was blowing my mind. I had no idea. I know my music.
Slicky, here's another mind blower for you. I'm sitting in Fortaleza, Brazil, a guy named Steve Glazer. This is a guy who came to Brazil about 6 years old the first time and then comes back at 10 years old. Ironically, he moves from Brooklyn, New York, and moves into Brooklyn, São Paulo, which is named because of the section's inhabitants of people from Brooklyn, New York. In fact, when I first went to Brazil, I stayed in the hotel in the area. Now, he's talking about his story as a kid, but he's not 8, 9 years old, and they're in the schoolyard playing, you know, in the yard, and they see a limousine. In any era, a limousine always stands up. And the limousine stops, and two guys get out to play in the yard with them. And one guy, the left-handed guy, is teaching them how to pitch, and the other guy is hitting. The two guys are... Slicky, are you sitting down?
Yeah, I'm lying down.
Hey, good, because we're going to knock Whitey Ford and Mickey Mantle.
No, in Brazil. In Brooklyn,
no,
Brazil.
No. This is in Brazil. Steve, I meant, Steve tells me the story in Brazil, but when he was a kid in New York, in the schoolyard, getting ready to play, you know, in the schoolyard, getting ready to go to school, a limo pulls up, two guys get out, play with him. It's Whitey Ford and Mickey Mantle.
Wow.
Hey, Stick, you know, when Doc tells us these stories, and welcome to the program, you know, when Doc tells us these stories, Stick, I start to think of the term that truth is stranger than fiction.
You look at now the we're going to stay with music, because we've got, look here, Doc Stanley, Sports Network, on the Blake, Rainbow Soul, since Sports Network, the show. It is legendary scribe and radio icon, Dr. Emily Stanley, senior host, is now ready for Sports Network, featuring classic Calling the Doctor Part 2, as Little Coco Melford Jr. calls back with some unanswered questions, more revelations, inquiries, and brain picking of the one and only Doc Stanley. Bird, greatest Caucasian player ever, greatest forward in the history of the Celtics.
Where do you put West, Doc? Where do you put West in that equation? Jerry West.
Well, West, I know, at one time West was. Until that was Larry Bird, it was Jerry West. Until that was last, and see what people don't realize about Jerry West and Oscar Robertson, to show you how great they were and how the game has changed. Oscar Robertson and Jerry West, they were All-American forwards in college. They weren't guards.
Wow.
They were All-American forwards in college, and they come into the pros their first year, okay, as guards. Now, Oscar Robertson, because nobody's better. I got a thing here. Oscar's first year, got a picture here. Cincinnati's Oscar Robertson led the league in 1961 in assists, was third in scoring, fourth in field goals, and ninth in free throw shooting. Huh? And was only a rookie.
Wow. Now,
that shows you how good the league was. Oscar was ninth in free throw shooting. Ninth in free throw shooting. He was fourth in field goals, okay, was third in scoring, but more importantly, he led the league. Here's the guy who came out of college as a forward. But not only that, he came out of college as basketball's all-time leading collegiate scorer. And his first year in the pros, he leads the league in assists. I mean, Walt Frazier said if Oscar Robertson wasn't so unselfish, he could have obtained scoring records that would have never been obtained. And here's the measure of Oscar Robertson. I tell people, here's Oscar Robertson now. When Oscar Robertson retired from basketball, he was the second highest scorer in the history of the game.
Oh, wow. When he retired, he's the second highest. Who was the highest at the time, Doc Mike Will?
No, the Dipper. Okay? He was the second highest scorer in the history of the game, and yet he was the all-time assist king.
You know, Doc, my dad, Bell Spencini, used to always say, there's the big goal, the big goal. You know what I liked about him, Doc, not only his greatness, but O had nets to him. I remember a reporter asking the big O, well, Oscar, how would you have held Michael Jordan? Oscar wrinkled his nose up slightly and said, how about you go to Jordan and ask him how he'd have held me?
Let me tell you something.
All of a sudden, I was like, I like Oscar. Big time.
Oscar retired from basketball 25.7 lifetime scoring average. 25.7. Didn't average 20 points a game the last 4 years ago. Okay, when they picked the greatest starting five in the first 35 years of the NBA, this was staggering to think that Oscar Robertson and Jerry West were the starting backcourt, and they were both guys who were All-American forwards in college. I tell you how great Oscar Robertson was. I remember the All-Star game with Jerry West hit a jump shot to win the game, and that was the year the Lakers won the championship. And so now they have Jerry West on the sidelines, and the announcer says, "Hey, Jerry, great shot." He says, "Jerry, that last play, what was happening there?" And I never forget the look on Jerry West's face. Jerry West looks at the guy like he's crazy. He said, "Hey," he looked at the guy, he said, "Hey, you know, like," he said, "all we were trying to do," okay, listen to this, "all we were trying to do was get the ball to Oscar."
Makes sense.
I mean, is that mind-blowing, Licky? And he looked at the guy like, "Is this guy crazy?" He said, "All we were trying to do was get the ball to Oscar." Jerry West averaged 27.7 points a game lifetime from the guard position. Jerry West was not a great player. Jerry West was not a great, great player. Jerry West was a great, great, great player. Clutch, jump shot, and he's right there. And all you had to know is that when he picked the all-time team, it's West and Oscar in the backcourt.
That's also saying a lot for Oscar, because if they're trying to get the ball to him, that means everyone was on him. They couldn't get the ball to him.
But not only that,
he's too good.
Well, not only that, the thing is, Licky, there's no higher degree. I mean, this is the All-Star game. These are the best players in the game.
In the world, yeah.
In the world, and they're looking for Oscar Robertson. Oscar told me one time, he said, "Nobody ever scored over 40 points on me." And he said, had they counted assists in my day the way they do now, he said, "Nobody ever would have caught me." Because Oscar's day, an assist was, okay, Slicky Slick's going to the basket, one bounce pass, you dunk the ball, that's assist. Okay,
right.
Rudy's going to the basket, you stop, okay? You pull up, I shoot a jump shot, no assist. The kind of guy Oscar was, the Oscar Robertson suit that he put for the players. Oscar wore number 12 in college. Here's the guy, the greatest collegiate player of all time. He come to the Royals, but Reece Stokes has number 12. Because I asked Oscar, I said, "No, you were number 12 in college, but you were number 14 in the pros." And he said, "You know, when I got to Cincinnati, Maurice Stokes had number 12, so I was number 14. He could have pitched his game. I told him one time, I said, "You know, Bill Russell said you were the best player that ever was." He said, he only saying that because he couldn't block my shot. I asked Walt Frazier one time, how would the old Knicks handle Michael Jordan? And he said, "We just put Earl on him."
By the way, Doc, since you said that, I do have to say that, and look, I'll let you hear this too. My particular favorite Nick of all time, Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Do you know how Earl got that nickname? Earl, because he went to Winston-Salem, and like his mother, Earl is a jewel. He's a rose. And I remember Turco Derbit, you know, she said, I used to love to watch Earl play. She had that heavy draw, but, you know, she's out much. And Earl, I said, Earl, how'd you get the nickname Earl Monroe? He said, Pearl. He said, well, what happened? He says, he said, this year, he said, I opened the season. He said, I scored like 70 points in, you know, a couple of games, 60 another game. So after one of these high-scoring games, the sports writer said, well, Earl had another one of his pearls last night. And that's how the name Earl the Pearl came about. You cannot meet a more humble, great human being. They said Earl did on the ground with Dr. J didn't there. I remember at a old timers game at the Garden, and I asked Earl could I have the uniform. And as he went in, I said, Earl, can I have the uniform? He said, you want this uniform? Don't be. And it is one of the things that I have in my sports and deaf memorabilia that, with all the things I think of, that I have with so much pride, that I have Earl Monroe's full uniform, which I'm going to frame it, from the All-Star game. And understand, what I have here, I've got a Satchel Paige autograph, I got a Joe Louis autograph, I got the only two pair of sneakers that Michael Jordan ever scored a triple-double in playoff history. I got those here.
You
know,
wow.
But, yeah, but the thing that Earl has is just, you know, you have to understand this, what a special, unique human being he was.
Yeah, but see, I got to say this. My favorite player was Frazier.
Oh, well, you know what? Right. You know what?
Radio, and I'll tell you, I remember listening to radio because back then, remember, Time Warner was called Manhattan Cable.
Go ahead, Slick.
The city was split in two. And I remember, if you couldn't see it, because they didn't show that, there was no MSG, there was none of that. You know, there was NBC,
right.
CBS, and ABC. That was it. You know? And I remember watching the Knicks play the Bullets. Every season it was Frazier against Monroe, okay. Frazier against Monroe. And then what was it, 73 Monroe came over?
The great line that we could ask Slicky, I remember that they asked one time, well, Frazier, how do you guard Earl Monroe? He said, how do you guard Gersh? Earl don't know what he's going to do. So how do I know what he's going to do?
You know, Doc, I was privileged enough to see the Pearl as a Knick. You know, towards the end of his career, had a few games at the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And, Doc, do you know that he could literally get a standing ovation, people literally jumping out of his seats and pumping their fists when he came down and did that spin at half court?
Oh, man. I mean, he was just – Walt Frazier said in his book, you know, talking about great players, he said, you know, Oscar's going to come down and try to back you down. He said, Jerry – he's coming down looking for the jump shot. He said, but Earl, he said, every time down the floor, it's a brand new deck.
Yeah.
It really was, Doc.
You know, and Frazier, the thing about, I remember Mark Jackson said about Walt Frazier was that he said, no matter how intense the action, Knicks down by three, up by seven, Walt Frazier always seemed to be above it. You know what I mean? He told me something. I remember I was coming in the preseason game, and I'm coming in, and he's standing in the back watching some of the games, days when he had the double headers and stuff like that. I was trying to get a hold of Destino, but it looked like he's not going to catch up with us. And this kid asked Clyde for an autograph, and I said, Clyde said, you know, I don't sign before the game. So we started heading down to the locker room, and I said, Clyde, I said, you know, after the game, you know, I got a couple of things, you know, if you would sign for me. So he said, well, you know, and it's just to show you not how I'm special, but what a special guy. He said, well, Stan, give it to me now. I said, well, Clyde, you know, you just told the kid that. He said, Stan, that's the kid. That ain't you. You know what I mean? And it reminds me of Charles Barkley. I remember at the All-Star game in 97 in Cleveland, and a guy asked Charles to sign a card. And Charles said, you know, I don't sign cards. And then they happened to be playing when they were playing the Nets, he signed the cards in the locker room. I said, "Well, I thought you said you don't sign cards." He said, "I sign cards for friends." I said, "Oh man!" I said, "I had a card at the All-Star game." He said, "Well, give me the card." You know, at Barkley is another great. You know, Charles Barkley, it's a stat. that Charles Barkley, any team that Charles Barkley played on, okay, was not the same team after he left. Just a great player and a great guy. And you know, and Rooney, he's a big boxing guy, man. He knows.
Well, you know, I had actually the privilege of meeting him, which actually thanks to you, Doc.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. He's a big boxing guy.
Very big.
And he knows his stuff. You know,
and a lot of people say, Doc, that if not for it being Bobby Knight coaching that Olympic team,
then
Barkley would have made
it. Man, call him on the show.
What'd you say? What'd you say, Rooney?
I said a lot of people think that if not for it being Bobby Knight coaching that Olympic team, that Charles would have made it.
Oh yeah,
he was
one of
the final cuts.
Politics. I mean, you know, Bobby had some.
That's a nice way of putting it.
I mean, you know, at the time, Charles was kind of heavy, but still.
Yeah, I think he's saying like around 275 to 80.
Well, the round mountain rebound, what they were calling them then, but still, he was a outstanding player. He could always rebound. And like I said, the stat shows from a standpoint of view of a player, any team he's ever left has not been the same team. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake. This is calling the doctor. It's Mel Smith's
Doc Stanley
segment, but we've got Destino Lowe who joined us in here. I figure we bring him in the last 20 minutes or so. We got Slicky Slick.
Oh, Destino on with us. Where's Destino, Doc?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, everybody's calling, so everybody got up. You know, getting back to music, because that's one of Slicky Slick's fortes. You know, we were talking about, you know, you spoke, Rooney, about your time at the Impala. You know, the Impala,
time,
really.
One time, yeah.
Well, you know, now I wish I had it in 90 minutes. My goodness. The Apollo Theater was an original Irish opera house. And,
the Apollo was in that original Irish?
Yeah, it was original Irish opera house.
Wow.
Slicky? And
I did not know that.
Yeah, and you know.
You know, I used to walk right by there.
Yeah, Ella Fitzgerald was the first female to ever win the talent show. And what happened was, Ella was a dancer. The girl before Ella tore the house down. Or whatever she did, and Ralph Cooper, legend, because it was the Apollo that started the concept of having an MC. They started MCs. And Cooper looks at Ella and says, I don't think you can top this dance thing. So he says, Ella, can you sing? Ella Fitzgerald, but it's amazing. It's amazing he said that, because what happened was, are we still here, gang?
Yep.
Still here?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, hold on a second. What happened was, she was a dancer. She was a dancer, and she wound up singing, and Chick Webb discovered her that night, and the rest, they say, is history. Amazing, right?
Wow.
Dusty?
Isn't that something, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
just goes to show, destiny works in funny ways.
Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing that you say that, because the first time that I saw Aretha Franklin was at the Village Gate. And she was singing jazz, right? And she wasn't coming over with the jazz idioms, you know, like a Billie Holiday or something. And I'm saying to myself, now what is this lady wasting her time singing jazz? Now I'm a critic, or I'm not a critic, I was just an audience, man. And before you know it, years later, she was the queen of soul. She changed her whole book.
Who's that, Ella?
No, not Ella.
Aretha.
Aretha started out jazz.
Yeah,
at Columbia.
And I was saying to myself, when I was sitting in the audience, I said, man, this lady can't see no jazz. What the heck is she going to be seeing jazz? I mean she better give this up. I mean, you know, I'm only an audience, but I'm a jazz pedophile. I mean, not pedophile. Jazz pedophile, whatever you call that. Pedophile. And I'm saying,
you're like real jazzy.
Yeah, jazz. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Oh, please, she's no Betty Carter. She, I mean, what the heck is she doing here, man?
And sure enough, she signed Doc Stanley Sports and Death. We're on the calling the doctor, and we've gravitated to music and stuff as we got into earlier talking about. Now I was talking about, you know, Julius Erving, and we got into Teddy Pendergrass, Billy Paul, who I talked to last year. In fact, Billy gave me a call for the laser 2 weeks ago, and he was the guy that Teddy Pendergrass replaced in Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, and Rooney was talking about his first time at the Apollo. What you're talking, man, how everything croups in here. He saw.
I lived in the Apollo, man.
Yeah, well, everybody did. I remember. You know what I remember
I
about the Apollo Theater?
At left
Flicky, what I remember about the Apollo Theater, man, I went, you know, when James Brown was at the Apollo Theater, when you went up there, the line was around the block for the second show. The first show was already sold out.
Right.
And I met James Brown. I went there to go to a show, and this girl acted up, and I left. But I met James Brown years later through the legendary Gloria Gaynor and her husband, the incomparable Linwood Maxwell. Now, the thing about Gloria, you know, Gloria's the only disco artist ever, Slicky, only disco artist ever to win a Grammy.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah, and what happened was I Will Survive was the flip side of a song called Substitute that the president of Polydor Records wanted Gloria to play, because what had happened was...
So you're saying I Will Survive was the B-side?
Slicky, not only was the B-side...
The B-side?
The guy who saw Gloria and wrote the words on a piece of it, it was the flip side of a song called Substitute, which had done well in England, okay,
wow,
for another artist. So the mindset, we know, we'll send it to America, and Gloria will do well within America. But Linwood, Mr. Simon, the incomparable Linwood Maxwell Simon, who was a cop, we became friends after we became buddies. In fact, I remember I met Barry White, who Gloria opened up for at the Den Fell Forum. Well, Linwood took the record to Exxon, Studio 54, Dusty, all the and YouTube back in the day too, was Slicky, all of the big discos, and told them play the record. Well, he had a meeting. And the guys at the meeting, he told them that they were playing the wrong side. The guys at the meeting were like, you know, Mr. Simon. Linwood left the meeting, took Gloria, took her to South America. Record went number one. They called him, Mr. Simon, could we have a meeting Tuesday? Could you fly in for a meeting Tuesday? Linwood said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll be there Tuesday. But when I get there Tuesday, Mr. Board, Mr. Switch, and Mr. View better not be there. You know what I mean? And when he got there, you know, the record went number, and what he did, Studio 54, he had it set up where Gloria came out of the ceiling. First I was afraid,
wow,
I was petrified, and coming through the front door, dressed in white on white, in a white horse, Dusty, Slicky, Chief Rocker, Frankie Crocker.
Frankie Crocker.
Frankie Crocker coming through the front door on a white horse. So now, Gloria did the song, descended into the ceiling, left the country again. Rod Stewart,
wow,
Don't You Think I'm Sexy, supplanted her for a week. I Will Survive again, got to be number one. From what I hear now, it's the number one karaoke song in the world. The song just took off. And what had happened was, Gloria, at the time, was at a very pivotal. Her and Gloria, and I remember her calling me. I was at my mother's house, and I must have called. I think it's a message. I called, because it had someone and beeper. And she said, "Stanley, you have a car?" I said, "Yes." Okay, you know, well, you know, we may need just, hey, Gloria, hey, you know, that's at your disposal. Well, when she sung the song "I Will Survive," she recorded, she was in a back brace because she had an accident, a freak accident. She used to do a thing where she would sing a song, and she would throw the mic across the room, and one of the guys would grab it, and they would pull on it. The guy missed it this time, and she fell, but she got up.
Oh, shit.
And you know, it didn't bother her that day. But later on, so she's in the back brace. Her mother just died, and now the word is out, the queen of disco is dead. I Will Survive, you know the rest, 80 different countries. Most number one karaoke song in the history right now is number one. I mean, and what had happened, you know, Slicky, was that an inordinate amount of the gay world took to the song, because the song
right.
was just a fight song for so much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. I mean, if you were a guy, if you were a girl, if you, and
it covered everything in life.
Yeah.
But also,
and
you know another
happened,
thing
you
know, about that song? Because forget
yeah.
about karaoke. That song and one other song have been used, well, actually two other songs, have been used a lot from that era in movies, in recent movies.
You know,
and
what,
one
now,
of the groups
Slicky,
is Average White Man.
Slicky,
yeah.
you hit that. You know,
the
thing about that song.
The other one was Casey and the Sunshine Band.
You know what? You talk about the movies, and it's great because you're Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports and Deputy Show, and... Gloria was the, in 2000, when France won the World Cup. Well, what had happened was France was playing a game and they lost to a foe. And they're sitting in the locker room and they hear this music coming from the locker room. So... when they see the players come from the other locker room, they say, "What's all that noise?" They say, "Hey man, we got a theme song, man." Say, "What? We got a theme song, man." Say, "Hey, that's our theme song. Every time we play, I say, we got us a song." So the French team says, "Hey, wait a minute, man. You know, maybe we need a song." Well, they at first I was afraid, I was petrified. They start playing the song. They say, "Hold on. Who sings this song?" They contacted Mr. Simon. Because that year, France hosted the World Cup, flew Gloria in, made her the godmother of the team, and they won the World Cup.
Wow.
And what happened, they have posters of the house of Gloria with the French team, and I Will Survive was the theme song, the propelling song, the underlining factor in
the 2000
France.
World Cup.
As you remember, they beat Brazil won
yep.
nothing. Now, in the ensuing years, Ronaldo confirmed that he wasn't 100%. There was some talk about the team was drugged. But the bottom line is, Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive was the theme song, that was the fight song, that was the foundation song, that was the song of inspiration for the French team that won the World Cup. And what happened, like I said, it was the B-side of a song called Substitute. As it turned out, it wasn't a substitute. It was a great job of PR work by Mr. Simon. And it was a song that, when Gloria sung the song, it had so much meaning because she was in a back brace. They said the queen was dead. Her mother had just died. And the rest, they say, is history. I mean, she, like I said, and then you know, it was number one. She went to the London Palladium. They wanted two shows. She did four. Mr. Simon has a picture of in his house there of Miss Gaynor sitting at dinner table. She's sitting next to Prince Rainer of Monaco and his lovely wife, the late Grace Kelly. And Mr. Simon told me across from him on the table was Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Sports Step on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Step for the show. We're doing the second part earlier. Of calling the doctor. We're going to do a little commercial break here right now, and we'll be right back. Slicky Slick, a legendary name. Pass for the name. Little Mel Smith, Coco, Little Coco, and, of course, the one only distinctive baby. Look, gentlemen, don't need anybody. Move. It's the Blake Radio Network. Music for your mind.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
We've got a good 5 minutes left. In the background, I'm putting Lucella by Starlight. Miles Davis. You know, Mel Coco does this stuff. He gives me this call, "Hey, Doc, you got a minute?" And he shoots these thoughts about me. Eddie Kendricks was another name that we were talking about earlier. Eddie was As Mel said, you know, when he went to the only time at the Apollo, Eddie Kendricks and David Ruffin, no longer, even neither one of them any longer with the Temptations was there, and the Miracles without Smokey Robinson. Now, I don't know if you knew, Slicky, that song, I Love You Secretly, that was written by Marvin Gaye.
By Marvin Gaye?
Marvin, as well as Baby I'm For Real. Marvin wrote both of them. I saw Eddie Kendricks at the last championship fight that Muhammad Ali would fight at Madison Square Garden, Dusty, the Ernie Shavers fight.
Yeah.
And Eddie was there, great guy. Eddie didn't want to leave the Temptations. Eddie wanted to simply make an album and stay with the group. He said, but the powers that be wouldn't let it be. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what's happening today, too. A lot of guys are leaving, do their own single, solo, whatever you want to call it, and then go back to the group.
That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do. And then he said, as he moved on, he saw the powers that be the same with the other one. And I remember he was there. You know, and the thing about that fight, if you remember, Dusty, Rooney, you probably won't, but if you remember, that fight was a fight where they judged the fight every round and put it on TV. Who was winning?
Yeah,
and I remember Shavers.
That was the first time that they went into that experimental. That they had went into the experimental thing of
And you know what happened?
Yeah, they're trying to bring
Rooney
that back now. Yeah.
And you know what happened, Rooney Slicky? Shavers said, you know, he coasted the last couple of rounds, but he couldn't beat Ali anyway, you know. But he said, you know, he thought he was winning the fight. And Angelo Dundee said, well, hey, Slicky, he said, all he had to do was have somebody go watch TV and tell him he was losing.
Then I had to, one of the guys in the corner, sorry, Ernie, you have to lose again.
Doc. Didn't Ali name him something wild? Ali named all his opponents. Wasn't he like the acorn or something?
No. He was the acorn. He was the acorn.
Yeah.
Holmes was the peanut.
Yeah. And, acorn because of the shape of his head.
Yeah.
The shape of his head. That's why he called him the acorn.
So what I loved about Ali is he had a name for everybody.
Everybody had a name attacked, man. I'm sorry. That was so funny.
No, I'll never forget
The first one that he attacked was Joe Frazier, poor guy, man. I mean, to this day, Frazier, not to this day, but they made up for it, but to this a long time ago, Frazier never forgave him for all the names he called him and all the insults, man.
Ali was like that. I never forget the time he was on Johnny Carson, and he was trying, and he was selling the Thrill in Manila,
right?
And he brought this little rubber toy gorilla with one of those elastic bands. He says, "This is what I'm going to do to Joe. Look at him, he's the gorilla." And he starts beating up on this gorilla like it was one of those paddle balls. It was hilarious.
Oh my God! And Joe Frazier took that personally. I mean, the guy was.
I don't blame him. I would too.
Who would? Yeah, who would?
Well, you know, it's legend that, and the good doctor knows this story also, that Ali got that form of all the braggadocio from one of the great wrestling bad guys.
Oh,
in
come
our,
on, Rooney,
our
come
time.
On, Rooney. You know what? I got a minute left. I don't have the time for your wrestling stories now.
No, come on, Doc.
Here we go with the gorgeous
memorabilia.
But gentlemen,
go ahead,
we are near the closing minutes of the show here. Dear Lord, thank you for all things. Thank you for this great combination of friends. Thank you for little things which are Lord you take for granted. And may your will be first, foremost, and always. And with that, don't anybody move. Larry's going to close. We can talk a little bit afterwards, though. Dr. Stanley Sports Staff, leave me with three thoughts. Things like today, I can have a phone call tomorrow. Life's an urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Hey. Service others when you from your space on Earth. Larry Hardesty, take us out of here, baby.
Larry. This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Gentlemen, it couldn't have worked any better. It's closing. I got to run. You guys, I guess, got to run if you want to chat for a little bit. But Slicky Slick, I'm going to call you later again. Rooney, we got us 2 hours today, baby.
Always a pleasure, good doctor and panel. A pleasure being on.
Oh, yeah, and Dusty got a lot of nerve. Dusty, you said Aretha was a jazz singer?
Oh, man, Jesus. I'm the expert of entertainment.
You know, but you know what, Slicky, what's funny, man, is that, you know, Ella Fitzgerald was a dancer, and then the guy turns around to Ella, the girl, he turned Ella, you know, look, honey, you know, this dance thing ain't going to work. Can you
It's not going to work for you. Use your voice.
I'll tell you, though, Destiny is a funny, is a fickle thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hey, you're right, man, you know, because, I mean, certain guys play certain instruments because certain things, you know, certain guys, I mean, I remember, I heard about Joe DiMaggio one time, and I remember that. He said, you know, he became a baseball player because he said they were paying his brother to play. He said he knew it better than his brothers.
He's going to be out of pain, too.
If they making money, I know I'm better than them. So, gentlemen, I'm going to call you later. I got to run. Gentlemen, love you.
Okay.
It's another great
God
show.
Bless.
Slicky, I'll talk to you in a little while, baby. Dusty, later, baby.
Guys,
bye,
all right, a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Take care, fellas.